Now, I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis and then Hebrews 11. We're looking at these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. But we'll read from Genesis chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 21, just a few verses there, and put your finger in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read there as well. Verse 21 of Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now just turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read the first verses of Hebrews 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. We know the Lord will add again his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Can we unite at the throne of grace in prayer a moment, please? Our loving and our gracious God, we are glad to be able to enter into thy presence afresh. And we again thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that we are justified through faith, and we thank thee for thy blessings that come to those that trust thee. And our God, we'd ask thee that thou wouldst be pleased to draw men and women to that place where they come to thee by faith. And we thank thee for the grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace that reaches down to men and women and young people, is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And we just ask thee that thou wouldst bless us and be with us here this evening, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, we've been looking at some of these heroes of the faith. A few weeks ago we looked at Abel, and then we went out of sequence because it was Mother's Day, and we looked at Sarah, and then Easter and all of these things intervened. So we're coming back to it today, and we're thinking about Enoch. And it says of Enoch here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now, we've read the story of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. And chapter 5 of Genesis gives us a list of the early generations from Adam and the tremendous ages that people lived to in those days. And we think of the long life that many of them had. But at the end of it, it always says that he died. And that repeated phrase is often pointed out through that chapter. He died, he died, he died. And it is a universal thing. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But we read about Enoch here, and it says of Enoch that he was translated. It says in the portion of Scripture that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 387 years and begat Lamech, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. Doesn't say that he died. It says that he was not, because God took him. Now that's a strange phrase. Mark Twain was once said to have said that to somebody that was complaining about life, that nobody gets out of it alive. Well, we read about Enoch here, and he does seem to have got out of it alive. And we think also of Elijah the prophet, who was taken up from earth to heaven without passing through death. It says that God translated him. He was translated from this life into glory itself. Now, Enoch is a very peculiar character in many ways. You know, there's coming a day when God is going to take his people out of this world. The Bible says that when the Lord comes, that they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that day is coming, that day when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, there's nothing secret about that coming. It's with a trump and with the voice of the archangel. And we think of how the Lord will descend with a shout from heaven. But he will take his people to meet him in the air. And Enoch went to heaven in a wonderful way. God took him up. And that's what's going to happen to God's people in an age to come when the Lord comes back. And I don't know about all that you are thinking of in this day and generation, but dear friend, you need to be amongst God's people in that day. You need to be amongst those that are saved and washed in the precious blood of Christ. This man Enoch evidently is one of the Lord's children. And I wonder if you are saved tonight, if you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we want to think about the faith of Enoch here. It says in verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. And we must all come by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to think about Enoch's faith tonight, and we're going to take a few minutes to look at what the Bible has to say here about this hero of the faith, Enoch. And first of all, as we come to think about Enoch, I want us to take a wee look at his times. The text says here, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we're not going to get the full impact of those words unless we think about the background and we take those words and set them against the background of the day in which Enoch lived. We hear the gospel in this day and generation. And there are many people who think, well, this is a different day. They think to themselves, well, this is a different age. This is a modern age. It's not like years ago. It's not like in the ancient past. Things have changed. People have changed. Attitudes have changed. Well, I want us to look at the times of Enoch for a few minutes, because we'll find that they just haven't changed that much. And I want you to think about here this man, Enoch. He was a man who walked with God, it says. He's a man who testified to the things of God. We learn in the book of Jude that he was a prophet, and he prophesied and he preached the word of God in his day, and he was salt in the midst of the world in which he lived. He was a preservative, as it were, in the midst of the times and generation that he lived. But I want you to think about his day very carefully for a few minutes. And I want you to see, if you turn back to the book of Genesis, that his day was a day of social permissiveness. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19, you will see there, you read about a man by the name of Lamech. And it says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 19 about this man Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. So there's a man who has taken two wives, and here's a sexual revolution. You know that when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, he had one woman for him, and he said that they were to dwell together and that they were to have that union one with the other. But we think of this man Lamech, and he breaks down what God had said, and he takes two wives, and we think of this sexual revolution that was taking place. And then we read, go down to verse 23, and it says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. And you can almost hear the swagger in the way that he says it. There's no contrition there. He has slain a man. Here's vice. Here's violence that has entered into that society. This was a society of social permissiveness, of violence and sex and perversion that was entered into society. And then you will find that it was a day of scientific progressiveness. If you look at chapter 4, verse 17, it says there, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. Now this is another Enoch, this is the devil's Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So here's a great metropolis, here's a city that is formed. And then you go down to verse 22, and it says, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now, here is an industrial revolution. Here is smelting. Here is ironwork for the first time. We read about the inventor of musical instruments. So there was an advance. The society was advancing. There is scientific progress that is taking place at this time right there. Back at the very start of the history of the world, there is social permissiveness and there's scientific progressiveness. And then there is spiritual presumptuousness, because we read about these times, or just slightly after these times, how God comes and looks at society and he says that the thoughts of the men's hearts were only evil continually. And God sent the flood at that time to wipe out all of these people, because God saw the heart of man, that he says it was only evil. All that man was thinking of, all that man was doing was evil. Now, we look at that day and we look at our own day. And isn't there a similarity between those days? We think of the social permissiveness of this day. We think of the violence. You look at the newspapers there and you think of the drug addiction and the violence that is in society. Just last Friday, the Public Health Agency said that spice that mimics the effects of cannabis is all too common in Northern Ireland. In 2022-23, a total of 2,960 clients were recorded on the abuse or the substance abuse database. And you think of how drugs have flooded into our towns and into our villages and into our countryside. You think of what, just last Friday, there was a story of a 13-year-old boy and a youth of 17 who appeared in the Crown Court for stabbing a teenager in a shopping centre in West Bromwich, and you think of what is happening in our land, we've come to the point where marriage has been redefined, and people can't even define what is a man or what is a woman. And there's sweeping change that has taken place. I don't need to tell you that. You know that there has been sweeping change. This is a day of social permissiveness, but so was the day of Enoch. You think of the sexual revolution that has taken place in society. And it's because people have been taught by evolution that they're nothing more than animals. And so they start to behave like animals. And we're told that we shouldn't control our children, and it is wrong to chastise our children. And so the children are growing up and they are anything but what it should be. You know, we are living in a day when people profess to know so much, and really they know nothing. There was a PhD who actually said that a little while ago. He was a PhD in criminology, and he confessed, "It took me years to understand that I don't know much. I don't know much." And we have a society today that doesn't know anything. It's not only a society of social permissiveness, but it is a society of scientific progressiveness. We have amazing advances today. We think of the phones that we use and all of the things, but the scientist has become the high priest of this day and generation. People look to the scientists. It's what science says. But really, at the end of the day, that's what man says. And as we have said, man knows nothing. The PhD that really had looked into it says, we know nothing. And yet they want to contradict the very truth of God's precious word. But more than that is a day of spiritual presumptuousness. You know what the religion of today is? It's humanism. Man is at the center. Man is everything. You can't offend man. You can't say anything to man. You can't hurt the feelings of man. Man is in the center. But dear friend, I want you to look up today. I want you to look up above what this world says and what the world declares. And I want you to see the mighty God of heaven, the one who looks down today, the one before whom you will stand one day, the one who will be your judge one day. We've got to see above all that man is and man declares, and we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus today. Oh, I wonder tonight if you will turn your eyes unto the Lord and see the one who owns the cattle on the thousand hills and knows the end from the beginning and is the great Alpha and Omega. Oh, look to him tonight. He is the one who has the truth. So we see his times. But then I want you to see his transformation. Because if you examine the verses in Genesis 5, verses 21 and 24, or 224, we detect a definite turning point in Enoch's life. Because it says in Genesis 5, 21 and 22, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." We are told that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. He lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So there seems to be a transformation. It looks there, well, what it tells us is that he lived 65 years, but after 65 years, something happened, and he begins to walk with God after 65 years. Now, we can see here that there is a turn, there's a change in his life. There's a transformation that takes place. And we get a little bit of a clue as to what the transformation has come about, because what happens when he's 65? Well, we're told that he begat Methuselah, his son. And Methuselah is born, and something happens around the time of the birth of Methuselah that really speaks to Enoch. And we get a little bit of a clue that what it might have been when we look at the name Methuselah. Because the name Methuselah there means when he dies, it shall come. That's the meaning of the name. And apparently, God had revealed to Enoch that there was something going to happen when his son would die. Now, you know that Methuselah lives 969 years, and he lives longer than anybody else has ever lived. And God is gracious, and God is long-suffering, and he lets this man have a long life before the disaster that comes. But the very year, the very time when Methuselah died, what happened? Well, when you work it out, the great flood. When Methuselah died, the great flood that destroyed the world came. And it seems as if God had somehow revealed to Enoch that this was going to take place. It says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7 that God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants. And God was speaking, and God was revealing these things, it seems. And we don't know the actual situation or all of these things. They're not all specified here, but we do know something for certain. There's a change and transformation in the life of Enoch. There's a time when he comes and he begins to walk with God. There is perhaps a sense of fear, what God is going to do, what God's power is going to manifest. Oh, that you might come tonight in godly fear before God, that you might see. You know, sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't be preaching to get people fearful. But dear friend, there are times when you need to be fearful. There are things that you need to be fearful about. And you need to be fearful about what God can do. God, the Lord said, fear not them that can kill the body, but fear those that can kill body and soul in hell. Men, women, you need to take heed to the warnings of God. And whatever you do, there needs to be a transformation in your life. You need to have the faith that pleases God. You need a turning point in your life. I wonder, has there been that turning point? You know, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In those days, God would have spoken to Enoch personally, but now we have the precious word of God. And it's believing what the word of God says. It's believing what the word of God has to say. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was that Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. The Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. Dear friends, you can't please God in your sin. You can't please God if you're walking in the way of the world. You can't please God if your life has never been transformed. But here's a man who is changed by the grace of God. Oh, dear friend, has there been a change in your life? Has there been that transformation that has taken place? I trust that if there's never been that transformation, that you come and trust in the mighty God of heaven and you walk in Enoch's footsteps, and you begin a walk with God by coming to the Savior and confessing those sins and having those sins cleansed away. Thank God that our Savior died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that you might have redemption, that you might have this change, this transformation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We see his translation, or his translation here, or his transformation. But then let's come to his translation. Look at what it says here in the text. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was translated. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word translated there in verse 5 is a word that means to transfer or to transport or to change sides or to carry over or to remove. It speaks of a transposition. Transposition is a musical term, not that I know much about musical, but it is the change from a lower key into a higher key. And that really describes what happened to Enoch here. He was changed from the lower level to the higher level. God took him to be with himself. God took him from this location. You know, in the 1960s and 70s, we read about astronauts. And in the 1980s, we read about cosmonauts. But here's the description of Enoch. He was not. He was a was not. And he was taken out of this world. And he was a was not. And dear friend, I want you to realize tonight that God was very gracious to this man. It means here moving something from one place to another. It means here, the Hebrew word lakach, Martin Luther said about the word God took him there, the Hebrew word lakach, which means God took him to himself. And it seems it's often been said that God and Enoch were walking together one day in the garden, and God said to Enoch, "You're closer to my side than yours, just come on over." And God transposed him and transported him from one side to the other. And the side of what, you say? Well, death. He was taken without passing through death itself. He was taken over the valley of death. And we think about Elijah too. It says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and 11, "And it came to pass as they went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." And that word "went up" has a reference, or is used actually, of Old Testament offerings. When the smoke of the offering rose up to God, he just rose up to God. And you know, you and I, we probably, no doubt, will not have the privilege of going out of this world without dying. But you know, if you're saved, you're transposed, transported, you're brought up, you go up to meet the Lord. And we think of what the psalmist says in the Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And when we go over, we are able to meet our Savior. And as the hymn writer said, "Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by." We'll see him, walk with him, talk with him. The great inventor Thomas Edison left this world in 1931. And somebody came to him on his deathbed and asked him, "Are you suffering?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm just waiting." And Edison turned then and looked out of his bedroom window and softly spoke his last words. And his last words were, "It's beautiful over there." Sounds to me like Thomas Edison was looking and waiting for something wonderful. And so am I. I'm waiting for something wonderful. I wonder if you have that assurance in your heart that it is absent from the body but present with the Lord. Will the Lord take you? Will you go up? Will you meet the Lord? Will you be with him throughout all eternity? Oh, that's the question, dear friend. You know, there are so many that fear death, and rightly so fear death. And we need to fear death. But dear friend, for the child of God, there's nothing to fear. It's just a passing over, passing into our home, our long home, as it's often described. Go to that place where the Lord has prepared for us, where the mansions are in glory. Are you on your way to heaven? Are you on your way to home? But one more thing I want you to see before we close, as we look at the faith of Enoch, and that's his testimony. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what a testimony that is. What a testimony to leave behind, that you please God. What a legacy. What a wonderful thing for people to look back on your life or mine and be able to say, that's a godly person. That's a person that pleased God. Oh, what a faith that led Enoch to walk in this world and walk with God for those hundreds of years. And his primary purpose in life as he walked was that he might glorify God. It says in Revelation 4 and 11 that it is God's pleasure that we glorify. He says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And God wants his creatures to please him. To please him. Of course, you can't please him in your sin. You can't please him in the world. Is your life pleasing to God? Is God pleased with what you do? Have you that legacy that you're going to hand on? A legacy of pleasing God? Oh, dear friend, the first step to pleasing God is to heed his word, to come in repentance before him. Not only did Enoch please God, he walked with God. Genesis 5:22 and 24 says Enoch walked with God. And the word walk there is a biblical term which speaks of fellowship and obedience. It speaks in that which results in divine favor. It's a manner of life, nearest to the Lord. He walks with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course, we've got to agree with God. We've got to bow to him. We've got to have him as Lord of our life. You can't please God unless you do what he says in his word. The Lord said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you. We've got to have that transformation. This transformation that Enoch speaks of here at 65 years of age, suddenly something is different. And you know what it is? It's the new birth. It's regeneration. He's come and he's trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior. In future, in those days, the Lord Jesus, of course, hadn't died on the cross. But all points to the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, are you walking with God? That phrase suggests submission. The sheep follow the shepherd. And in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That's the essence of the Christian life. Now you may say to me, well, I couldn't do that. No, you can't, because there hasn't been a transformation. There hasn't been new life in your heart. But those that come to Christ and are changed and transformed by the grace of God, they're able to walk with God. You say, well, preacher, you don't have the problems that I have. You don't have the difficulties I had. Well, Enoch had problems too. Enoch had a family. Enoch begat sons and daughters. He went through all the difficulties of this life. He lived in a day and generation when there was violence and when there was a turning upside down of every value. And he lived through all of those things, but he walked with God. He walked with God and he pleased God. And that's the evidence of a life of faith. That's the evidence of the transforming power of God. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms? Are you leaning on the everlasting arms tonight? Do you know the one that Enoch walked with? Do you know the one that Enoch pleased? Oh, friend, you need to please God. You need to walk with God, because otherwise you're under his wrath. You're under his wrath. But if you'll come to the cross tonight, there's cleansing, there's forgiveness, there's mercy. Will you come? Will you seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We think of this man, Enoch, away back there in the beginning of history. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that there was the transformation in his life. There, 65 years of age. Lord, he didn't know that his son would live 20 years or even 10 years. Lord, it was urgent. He needed to get right with God immediately. And our God, he did. And we pray for others here today that they might get right with thee and seek the Lord while he is to be found and call upon him while he is near. Bless thy word to every heart for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could turn to the hymn 243 in closing. Can I say that if God has spoken to you, get in touch with us. If you're looking in on the internet, then we just go onto the church Facebook or onto Sermon Audio, and there are means of getting in touch with us if you look there. But seek the Lord, call upon him for mercy and for forgiveness. 243 sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. The hymn 243, and we'll stand as we sing, please. loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee that thou dost receive sinful men. Our God, we thank thee for thy mercy and for thy goodness. And our Father, we pray that thou wouldst continue to write that word upon every heart. O God, speak to sinners, we pray, and draw them to that place of repentance. And now we pray that thou wouldst part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and be with us, and Lord, draw near to us even in the incoming days. And may we know that blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, even in these incoming days. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.